Tina Packer is the founding artistic director of Shakespeare and Company. Since the Lenox, Massachusetts Theater Group was created in 1978, she's directed all of the Bard's plays and taught his work at Columbia University and written multiple books on the famed English playwright. In January, Packer won the Shakespeare Theater Association's Douglas N. Cook Lifetime Achievement Award at its annual conference in Prague. She spoke with WAMC about what winning the award means to her.
I mean, obviously, I feel extraordinarily honored. It's a very good feeling to have my peers all say, yes, good on you, Tina, you've done well. You know, it's lovely and thrilling sometimes it's really hard work, so it's a real acknowledgement of that. And I think the other thing, Josh, is, if I'm not talking too much, that why I know so many of the people in the organization is because so many of them have come here and trained with us. So because we have really concentrated on what does it mean to be an actor of Shakespeare, and then what does it mean to run education programs in the schools, a lot of those theaters around the country have come here and trained with us. And so they actually know us firsthand, if I can put it like that. So I do think that's part of the cause of being thus honored.
Looking back over your own career, what to you are the major tentpoles that led up to this acknowledgement now?
Oh, I would say, besides the reason I just gave you that, you know, an awful lot of the Shakespeare theaters have found their way to Berkshire County. So, we just finished the January intensive, so that's 54 people coming to study with us for a whole month, from 8:15 in the morning till 10:15 at night, with only two breaks for lunch and dinner. So it's very intense, and they do this for 4 weeks nonstop. I think a lot of them have gone through that. So people from California, people from Atlanta, people from Canada, people from all over America have come and done those programs. And actually quite a lot of the Australians have. There were two from Rob Pensolfini's company who was with us for 2 or 3 years, and then he went back to Australia and created his own company. So I think a lot it's people coming to us for training. I think the other thing is that Kevin Coleman, with his education programs, has traveled the country telling people what we know about our study of different pedagogy for different ages, and particularly the high schools, because we do the high school festival. You know, 10 high schools do a Shakespeare play, and they all come together and celebrate that. We do from Thursday through to Sunday, nonstop Shakespeare. People have seen that, and then they want us to come to them and come and train their artists in that particular manner. So I think that's the other thing. I would put it down mainly to that. And then I have worked in quite a few of the other theaters as well. Whenever they ask me to go, I try and make time to go. So I, for instance, have did 2 or 3 years at Prague when they were setting up, helping them to set up. And, and other people, Dennis did 2 or 3 years in Prague as well. So we're a resource for other theater companies, other Shakespeare companies, in a way I think that no other theater company is.
Since you began this business of Shakespeare, how has the conversation around Shakespeare changed?
Oh, it's changed because more and more people keep on aligning Shakespeare plays to the current political situation. I mean, it's always happened, you know. There's always been this alignment between the Shakespeare plays and what's going on in Washington or in Britain, for that matter, or Canada or Australia. But I think that America is particularly rich in parallels within the Shakespeare plays about how people get power, take power, try and hold on to power, you know, what role the women have, how the women have to maneuver underground a lot of the time until they do come out front, and then what happens to them. So I think people have align what goes on in the world a lot, and I get asked about that a lot. But I think the other thing is, if you've got Shakespeare in the school curriculum, which we do in America, you actually need to get the kids to do it, not just learn it behind a desk. Because if they do it, if it gets in their bodies, then they remember it forever. If they have to learn it behind a desk and struggle with the difficult words instead of, you know, creating what those words mean and when they're on their feet, it becomes really painful to them. So I think as the teaching of Shakespeare has shifted, we've really been at the forefront of that. I think the other thing is that, you know, it's a secret, almost. You know, everybody thinks of the Brits, oh, there's the Globe Theatre, oh, there's the Royal Shakespeare Company. You know, two great theatres doing Shakespeare as the backbone of what they do. So everybody thinks, oh, the Brits do Shakespeare, you know, much more powerfully than the Americans. But that actually isn't true. There's far more Shakespeare in America than there is in Britain. And I would say that is because, well, for a couple of reasons. First of all, when, you know, after the playhouses all got closed in England during when the Puritans took over and they closed down all the playhouses, the question is, where did all that art of rhetoric go to? And the answer is it went to America. Really, all our founding documents got written. I don't know whether you've ever noticed this, but, you know, we read the declarations on July the 4th, and 1,000 people turn up just to hear it read out loud. Well, it was meant to be read out loud, and it's just like a Shakespeare speech. I mean, it includes everything. It says why. It says what the opposition is. It's why this kind of ideal of all men being created equal is really important. And that's true of the Constitution, and it's true of all of Abraham Lincoln's speeches. They're written so richly that, you know, if you look at the speeches that changed the world, Martin Luther King, he speaks in this art of rhetoric, which is the language art that Shakespeare used, and it's full of style and parallels and ideas that get expressed in metaphors and similes and so on and so forth. And so, you know, and it is true that all those big Shakespeare actors came out to America and toured America, often in one-man Shakespeare shows, or the local theater company, you know, set up their Othello, and then in comes Kemble or somebody like that, or Keane to come and play the lead part, you know. And then people like Fanny Kemble, just as far as the Berkshires are concerned, you know, she lived here, so she was a great Juliet in her day, and she stayed in America, and she lived right next door to where we live. So there's much more history about Shakespeare than is generally known or acknowledged in America. So the Shakespeareans know this, the people who do Shakespeare, but it's not something that the general public knows a lot about.
If you can possibly forecast the direction of where you see conversations around Shakespeare going, what do you think is next? What's the next frontier for reinterpreting the work of the Bard?
Oh, I think major playwrights who are going to write about... You see, Shakespeare was a modern playwright in his day. I mean, I know he's 400 years old now, but when he was writing, he was a modern playwright. I do think it's... Well, you're already seeing it with Game of Thrones, which really is based on the history cycle, Shakespeare's history cycle. You know, so all those television programs which really try and do a huge sweep and doing sex and violence right alongside it. I mean, that's pure Shakespeare, you know. and but when they try and have some depth to it, even like what's the Kevin Spacey say, House of Cards, that's real Shakespeare. You know, so he's talking to the audience, you know, like the soliloquies. He's telling them what he's thinking. He's doing his maneuvering. It's already here, actually, Josh. It's just that people don't necessarily recognize it as Shakespeare. The original one, House of Cards in Britain, they really did pull the parallels, you know, but then, of course, because people recognize the Shakespeare more in Britain. But it was, House of Cards was just as Shakespearean as the original one was. So I think that's where it's going, the places where they can do spectacle. And I think modern playwrights who really want to create universal truths which have very personal consequences, if I can say. So you're watching the struggle on a very intimate personal level, but it has social and political implications far beyond that. And I think you do see that in the writing of somebody like Lynn Nottage, you know, that they're struggling with what's the predicament that we're trying to talk about, and what's its universal application. So, I mean, that's what Shakespeare really stands for, is very intimate personal insight which has universal application.
Looking at your own career, you've hit a real milestone here with having a Lifetime Achievement Award. What's next for you? What's on the horizon for Tina
Another
Packer?
Lifetime Achievement Award? Well, I feel as if I've got a way to go yet. You know, I haven't stopped doing it, and maybe I never will. But I would like to really kind of support some of these ideas that I'm talking about, you know, to get new playwrights to write on this level, to train more and more people. I mean, I love what I do, Josh. I mean, I just, it's fascinating to me, endlessly fascinating. So I'm not going to stop doing it. Where it leads me, I'm not sure. You know, I can't see the future, but I'm acting this summer in Coriolanus, you know. So I haven't acted, I think, for 4 years or 5 years, which when I did Mother of the Maid, and then Glenn Close just did that down at the Public, you know. So that was a play that got picked up and had ye great movie star in it. And I haven't acted since then. I'm looking forward to doing Coriolanus with John Douglas Thompson and Alan Burroughs, so that's very exciting for me. So it means I'm going to, you know, I've got a lot of learning to do. I'm doing the Waverley Gallery with Annette about a lady who's on her last legs but is full of life and she can't remember a bloody thing. I mean, it's excruciatingly painful. I'm thinking, why the hell am I doing this play? You know, I don't want to look into the prism and see my future. But on the other hand, it's really funny and something that we all have to contend with. So I don't know how old you are, Josh, but you probably haven't started thinking about it yet. But I'm sure my son does. And, of course, I went through it with my own mum, although my sister did the heavy lifting on it. So I'm doing that, which is kind of shoves aging in my face. I'm creating a program in Israel. I'm really seeing if I can get Kevin's Four Festival to go nationwide. We have people, 8 companies across the country who'd like to mirror image it, and I'm leading that because Kevin is too busy doing that. I mean, doing the work itself. Do you know what I mean? So I'm doing the institutional part of trying to create that. I'm not going to be doing any of the programming, leading any of the programming, because I don't know how to teach the kids. It's him that knows how to do that, and all his team of wonderful artist educators. So I'm doing a lot of things, you know.